Welcome to another Joy 94.9 podcast.
Welcome to Undriven on Joy 94.9 with your hosts Alan and Hugh. Tonight we'll be talking to Sumesh, who originally comes from India. We'll be discussing his home life in India and his schoolboy dream of moving to Australia to live. He will talk about moving to Australia, love, happiness and getting depressed to the point of almost going back to India. Once again, we have a great story coming up here on Orange Ribbon, so stay with us for the next hour on Joy 94.9.
Welcome to Orange Ribbon, and you're with Alan and Hugh tonight. Hello, Hugh.
Hey, Alan, how
are
you?
We're just discussing how in the studio it's not quite as warm as it normally is.
Which is cool in here tonight.
Well, I wouldn't say it's cool, but it's certainly not quite as stuffy as it normally is.
No.
We would be nice to have a little bit cooler on the hotter days
in here. It's pleasant tonight. It's pleasant.
Now, we've got an interesting guest coming up in the program who's also chosen the music for tonight as well. So maybe I'll let you introduce our guest. And we'll find out what we've been listening to.
We have a wonderful guest tonight, and I'd like to introduce Sumesh. Good evening, Sumesh. How are you?
Good, thanks. You? How are you?
I'm very well. Now, do you want to tell us what the music was?
And why you chose it.
Rock DJ.
Rock DJ.
By Robbie Williams.
Okay.
It's a bit like me, a naughty bugger.
Okay, this is going to be interesting, isn't it? So, Sumesh, tell us a little bit. Where do you come from?
Come from India, Bangalore, to be specific.
Okay.
The southern part of India.
Now, is Bangalore, sorry for my ignorance here, given that Mumbai used to be Bombay and whatever, is Bangalore, did it have another name before?
Yeah, it did. It was called Bangalore.
Oh, no.
It didn't change much, did it?
No, it didn't change much. Oh, okay. So what was the other one? Calcutta was...
Mumbai.
Kolkata to Mumbai.
Yeah. Madras to Chennai.
If anyone knows of any of other names...
That was the other one I was trying to think of. Yes, Madras to Chennai. Okay. Yeah.
Let us know if you know of any other names have changed in India. Okay. So tell us, I mean, you were brought up in India. Mum, dad, siblings?
Yeah, mum, dad. I'm the oldest of three of us.
Oh, okay.
I have a brother and a younger sister.
Are they still in India?
My sister's still in India with my parents, and my brother is in Canberra.
Canberra? Yeah. Oh, okay. This must be nice having them close by then.
Relatively close by.
Relatively, yeah.
It's a 6 or 7 hour drive or whatever it is.
But he's still in Australia, he's not in India.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about your upbringing, religion, schooling, different things.
Religion, well, pretty orthodox Hindus, but kind of, you know, the kids are let loose in a way.
Right. So your parents weren't too strict?
No, they're not too strict, but when it comes to festivals... You have to listen to the mum.
Okay.
And schooling, I studied in an all-boys school.
Oh, right.
My sister studied in an all-girls school.
Why did they send you to an all-boys school?
No, it was one of the best schools in Bangalore, so...
Right. Yeah. And the all-girls school, was it similar?
Similar reasons.
Right. And how did you feel with an all-boys school?
Well, it was fun.
Okay. What do we interpret from that? It was fun.
No puns intended, but it was fun.
Okay. Now, your family, you told me your family is very much into sport.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about, you know, what your mum and dad did in sport.
My mum wasn't into sports in a big way, but my dad was into sport.
Okay.
He was into athletics.
Right.
Athletics and cricket.
Okay.
As in actively participating,
yes.
Not as management.
He was participating in athletics, and he started off as an athlete, and then he gave up because of family pressure and stuff.
Mm. So was the whole family into sport then, you know, because of your father?
Sort of, because my mum took interest in, sport because my father was really keen on making us play some sport.
Right.
And my brother did really well, and I did reasonably well.
In what?
I was a swimmer for most of my life.
Okay.
During school.
Right. Did you win some medals?
Or? Yeah. Did represent my state a few times.
That's excellent.
Three times.
Yeah. And your brother, what did he do?
My brother's an inline speed skater.
Oh, okay. Good. That's interesting.
Do you speed skate as well?
I do know how to speed skate, but it wasn't for me.
Okay.
I did ice skating and roller skating. That was as far as I went.
I didn't do any of those. I could never stand up. Spent all my time on my bum. But you're into cricket, though, aren't you?
Now I'm into cricket.
Yes. Yeah, you play cricket. Yeah. Who do you play for in Australia?
I play for a local club.
Right.
Yeah. I just digressing, but I was listening to the cricket from Perth this afternoon, and fortunately for us, we're not playing India at the moment, it's South Africa, but Australia's not doing too well this afternoon. No. It had a major collapse late this afternoon after 3 for 15 this morning. Anyway,
take that smile off your face, Smash. So, now you also told me that one of your childhood dreams was to come to Australia.
Yeah,
why was that?
That was because during school we used to have University of New South Wales coming in and organising scholarship exams.
Mm.
And if you did well in a scholarship exam, you would actually be able to study in University of New South Wales.
Mm.
And
so what age were you when you want to go to Australia?
I think it was about 14.
Okay.
But did any other country come into the consideration, or was it mainly driven by the fact that the Uni of New South Wales had this offering?
No, I did think a lot about the US and the UK. The US mostly because the schools, the architecture schools, are really good.
Mm. Mm.
Yeah, but
we didn't touch on that, but you've sort of given it away in that you're interested in architecture then, obviously.
Yes.
So did that start from a very early age?
No. Not at all.
So what were you going to be, an engine driver or something? Like
no, I wanted to be a doctor all my life.
So what happened? What stopped you?
I didn't score well enough to get into medicine.
Okay.
And I got into a dental course, but I wasn't really keen on doing dental. And then there was a bit of a power struggle at home.
Mm.
I finally said, I gave a couple of aptitude tests for architecture.
Right.
And it finally went well, and there was architecture.
Okay. So When did you actually make the decision, I'm going to Australia now, and tell your parents?
That was after I finished my undergraduate studies.
Right.
I was working, and it happened all of a sudden.
Right. And how did they take it?
My mum wasn't really happy.
Mm.
My dad was like, that's good, do what you want. So,
At this point, Somesh, did you know that you were gay?
Yes, I did.
Okay. So were you actively gay in India before you came to Australia?
Yes, I was.
Right.
Well, we heard about going to a boys' school. It was fun. The emphasis was on fun. So I guess you read into that what you like.
Oh, well, let's just say...
Is he on the right track? Or?
Yes, he is. Let's just say I'd done everything by the time I was 15.
Okay. Oh, that's interesting. So what age were you when you actually decided, well, I'm going to come to Australia now, that's it?
I was 20.
Okay.
20 or 21.
Did you have contacts in Australia before that, or were you coming here totally cold? That is, not knowing anybody.
Didn't know anyone here.
Major leap, major change to consider.
Yeah. There was. A couple of my mum's friends are here, but no one really I know personally.
Right.
Oh, well, no one I knew personally.
Yeah. So yeah. How did you cope when you first came here?
Just had a family friend who looked after me for the first few months.
Okay.
And then moved up and then stayed with friends after.
Excellent.
This is Orange Ribbon. You're with Alan and Hugh, and our guest tonight is Somesh.
This is a podcast from Joy 94.9, a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station. For more content, please go to our website at joy.org.au, or if you're in Melbourne, tune in to Joy 94.9.
This is Orange Ribbon with Alan and Hugh, and our guest tonight is Somesh. Now, Somesh, you've chosen the music tonight. What was that one?
That was Sexy Boy by Air.
And that means, what's the meaning? That you were telling us off air, that relates to your moving to Australia for some reason.
Yeah, there were lots of sexy boys here.
Sexy boys. He's sitting with two, isn't he? You're supposed to say yes, Somesh. Now, let's talk about when you first came to Australia. You came here to study, obviously, didn't you? And just remind us what you were studying.
I came here to study my master's.
in architecture.
Okay. And your decision to come to Australia, was it influenced anyway? Was it because you were gay and it was easier here, or?
Not really.
No? So why Australia?
Did look at a lot of options in the US and UK, and eventually said Australia is much, it's a different sort of a country.
Mm.
It's an island country, so.
Well, the UK is freezing cold most of the time.
The UK is cold, so rule that out first.
And Australia's up and down and all over the place. Well, Melbourne
depends
isn't.
On where you are in Australia. Yeah.
And the other thing was, it was much cheaper to study in Australia compared to the US and the UK.
Compared to the US, it would be. I'm not sure about the UK.
It is cheaper. Yeah.
So, when you first came to Melbourne, how long did it take you to settle down?
Yeah, it did take me a fair bit, at least 4 or 5 months.
What was the problem to start with?
I just didn't know anyone.
Okay.
So and I was living way out in the
boondocks.
Where I was living, close to Frankston.
Oh, were you?
Yeah, for the first couple of months, so it was really bad.
Yeah, if you had to, which uni were you going to?
Oh, Melbourne.
Okay, yeah, so you had to go all the way in. Yeah, it's such a long drag, 2 hours or whatever it would be every day.
Nearly 3 hours each day.
And when you're so far out of the city, I suppose it's not easy to make friends, is
it? Yeah, no. And then I moved to Brunswick with a few of my flatmates, a few of my uni friends.
Right. Mm. Did you go on the gay scene when you first came to Melbourne?
No, not for the first 8 months, I think.
Why? Because you were actively gay in India, weren't you, before?
Yeah, I was just enjoying the different city. I mean, just trying to get the hang of the city before I get back into the scene, because the scene's the same everywhere, I think. Mm.
Yes, it is, actually.
So where did you find, when you finally did find, if we talk the scene, I don't know, I have a problem with this term, the scene.
Yeah.
Because I'm not really a scene person, to be quite frank, I never have been. But we're talking about bars and dance clubs and that sort of thing in general. Where did you find them? I mean, as in how did you find them, sorry, is what I'm trying to find. How did you find out where they were, internet or by other means?
Through the internet mostly.
Yeah.
But I also met a few friends, who are from India.
Okay.
A lot of gay Indian friends.
Well, there's a lot of gay Indians around, so.
Yes, did meet a few of them first, and then they took me out.
Hmm. How did you find the clubs and pubs here compared with India?
Well, let's just say in India everything's underground. Well, in Bangalore everything was underground.
Right.
And here everything was out and open, you know.
Yeah.
Everyone knows, most people know that, you know, where the gay nightclubs are, where the gay pubs are.
Yeah. And, of course, you're still living with Section 377A in India as well, which, enough from the old colonial days, which you still haven't gotten rid of, although I know there's some debate in the Indian Parliament at the moment relating to all of that, but it looks like it's not going to go anywhere.
Yeah.
Did you find that you were more free here then?
I did feel I was a lot, you know, a lot more comfortable.
Did you find it a bit strange at first, though?
Yeah, did find it a bit strange, because you don't often see two men kissing in public.
Right. Especially, in India you wouldn't know if it's underground.
Yeah.
And how did you, or how long did it take you to get used to all this?
Not long.
Oh, at least
it's honest. Why would it?
What about, now you spoke to me, you said that you were a bit shocked, though, with the gay scene. And it was mostly to do with drugs and drugs being smoked.
Had a couple of bad experiences.
Do you want to tell us what happened?
No, just that my drinks were spiked, not once, a couple of times.
Really?
Yeah, and apart from that, just didn't see the point of doing drugs and getting high like that.
So did you ever find out who spiked your drinks?
Nah.
No.
I guess you probably never would you? Mm. But, again, I'm showing my age here, but I couldn't be bothered going to bars if my drinks were going to be spiked or whatever. But then maybe it's only certain types of gay nightclubs that perhaps that happens. I don't know. Maybe I go to the wrong places.
So this made you a bit apprehensive about going out to the pubs and clubs?
Yeah, it did. But then, you know, after that, you still have your friends with you, so you still want to, you feel like going out, you still go out.
Mm. And was it around about this time that you started actually meeting people? And
Yes.
Okay.
It was about the same time that I started seeing people and meeting people.
Did that start to make you feel like you perhaps were okay with living here then? Because presumably the first few months it was sort of like a holiday in a sort of a way, and you're still trying to experience the environment in which you're now living. But did it feel like you were now sort of felt as though you belonged, the fact that you had somebody or were seeing people?
Yeah, it did feel a lot better because I had a circle of friends, not just gay friends but straight friends, uni friends. I knew a few people around me. It's more comfortable doing stuff.
Okay, this is Orange Ribbon on Joy 94.9.
This is a podcast from Joy 94.9, a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station. For more content, please go to our website at joy.org.au, or if you're in Melbourne, tune in to Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9, you're listening to Orange Ribbon, and that was Linkin Park, as if you didn't know, Crawling, which is a track that's also been chosen by our guest on the program tonight. Do you have any particular memories or issues associated with that track, or is it just something you like?
No, it was just something, you know, did feel a bit insecure when I first moved to Australia, because I didn't know too many people.
So this was part of your life then?
Yeah, it's a part of my life. Yeah. Yeah.
It's funny how you link music to parts of your life, don't you? You think back and think, well, this is the song that I listened to when this happened.
It's funny you mentioned that. When I first came out, 91, but I think it was about 92 or thereabouts, so there was a dance track at the time called Trans Central. I'll always remember that, and I always remember going to what was then Three Faces. And I don't know why, I always remember standing in the dance floor and listening to Trans Central at the old Three Faces in around about 92, 93. I don't know why. I always associated with that.
I came to Australia in 91, January 91, and Three Faces just opened. And I remember going there with somebody, and it was empty. And the barman said to us, oh, it's just opened, we're Three Faces, and it's going to be big. It's going to be huge. And there was two of us sitting there, and it was, I think, a Sunday night. And I'm thinking, oh, it doesn't look very big. But
anyway,
that's another story. Now, we have some messages that have come in. The first one I'm just going to read very quickly. Living in India, I lived out and proud. The said Section 377A never affected my life. Do you think West has overly backward image of Indian gay life? What do you think, Sumesh?
I don't know. The West has its own perceptions. The people who live in India know the truth.
But, I mean, in terms of the perceptions of the gay life in India, to be quite honest, I don't think any of us would have any perceptions of gay life in India, because we just wouldn't know about it.
Because I don't know what it's like back home at the moment, so I can't say anything.
Well, I guess things, even in what, the 4 years, it 4 years that you've been away? A lot of things would have changed in that period of time.
Every country's the same. Everything changes so quickly. Every time I go back to Edinburgh, everything's changed. You know, I get lost. But we have another message. As an Indian who moved to Australia at a young age, Sumesh, do you find yourself more social with non-Indians?
No, don't think so. I'm social with everyone.
Yeah.
If anything, I'm more friendly with fellow Indians.
Yeah. But sometimes some nationalities stick with their own nationality in the country. But I don't think that's you, is it?
That's never been an issue for me.
No. Okay. Let's get back to your story. Now, let's get back to when you first came to Australia and you started going out on the gay scene and started enjoying the gay scene and started a relationship.
Yeah, met someone who was really nice.
And how did this make you feel?
Special.
Was it the first time that you actually had either here or in India a relationship of this?
No, I did have a relationship in
India. You did? India. Okay. Yeah. Right.
So what happened to your relationship in India?
I didn't really feel like a relationship.
Right, so it was more like just a boyfriend.
Yeah, it was just, you know, more of a friend who was... Mm.
So when you came to Australia and you started a relationship, it was more than just a boyfriend, it was a relationship.
It was, yes.
And how long before you actually moved in together? And
I think it took us about 8 months before we moved in together.
Right. And at this point, were you very happy?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Was really happy, yes.
I mean, just explain, you know, because a lot of people who start a relationship, they say, yeah, I'm happy, you know, and it's nice, and we're getting to know each other. I mean, I get the feeling that you felt a little bit more than that.
It was something like, you know, something that I didn't expect.
Mm.
It was someone that I met, you know, not directly, someone I met through someone else.
Okay.
And it met this person by chance, and, you know, it worked out. So, and we met.
Would you go as far as saying it was love at first sight?
Maybe. To an extent, yeah.
I'm trying to make this romantic here.
Yeah. but basically, at that time, you saw it as hopefully being something to be a lifetime thing. If that was your wish, that was your desire at the time. Yeah.
Yes.
But what happened? I mean.
But it wasn't, unfortunately.
Well, things changed over a period of time. You know, and we moved in and we stayed together for nearly 2 years after.
Okay. So it wasn't just a quick relationship?
No.
Right. During this 2 years, though, obviously a few things started to go wrong along the way.
Mm-hmm.
And it affected you personally, though, didn't it?
Yeah.
One of the things that you told me was you failed an exam.
Yeah.
And how did that make you feel when you failed the exam?
It's just I've never failed before, and that was like the first time I ever failed.
So did you question your feelings then?
Yeah, it was. I started to question everything that I did.
Right.
Like even moving to Australia.
Okay.
I started to question if I did the right thing in moving first, and then started questioning if I did the right thing by getting into a relationship.
Right.
To a certain extent.
Mm. One other thing that you told me, and I thought this, you know, failing the exam is bad, but you actually lost your job. At one point.
Yeah.
You know, and
that was because just didn't feel like, you know, facing the pressure at work, and didn't want to go in because my mind was preoccupied.
At this point, Sumesh, did you feel you were getting a little bit depressed?
Yeah, but I didn't really want to call it depressed.
So were you sort of making excuses to yourself?
Yeah. Basically making excuses, yeah.
Okay. We'll come back to this in a couple of minutes. This is Joy 94.9. You're listening to Orange Ribbon with Alan and Hugh.
Gay and lesbian radio for everyone. Joy 94.9.
This is a podcast from Joy 94.9, a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station. For more content, please go to our website at joy.org.au, or if you're in Melbourne, tune in to Joy 94.9.
Pink and Sober, another track chosen by our guest Sumesh on tonight's program with Alan and Hugh. You're listening to Orange Ribbon, Joy's multicultural gay and lesbian radio program.
So, Sumesh, tell us the music. Why did you pick this?
I just felt that this song just fits in perfect.
Okay.
After the breakup.
Right. So this is what you listened to when you were breaking up?
No, this is a new song. It just felt it was like the perfect thing.
A new start.
Before the break, we were talking about you, how you were beginning to feel a bit depressed.
Yeah.
Because your relationship wasn't going the way you wanted it to go, basically.
Yeah.
What steps at this point did you take to try and sort of relieve the depression that you were starting to feel?
I started to get help. I started seeing a psychologist.
Okay.
Started speaking to friends.
Mm. Because during your relationship, you actually told me you actually stopped talking to a lot of people you knew.
Mm.
You sort of broke away from them.
Yeah.
Why did you do that?
Can't say broke away from them. It was more like didn't spend enough time with them.
Right.
It's like I met them, but not as often as I'd like to meet them.
Right.
Just concentrate my energy more on the relationship.
Okay, so you were putting everything you had into a relationship that really was starting to fall apart a little bit, in your mind, anyway.
Yeah, just didn't know how to get it to work, basically.
Right. Yeah. So when you started going to a psychologist, did you feel this helped you?
It was starting to help.
In what way?
I was trying to get I was trying to become a little bit more confident and assertive and kind of stand up and say what I felt.
Right. And did it also help you with your job? Because your depression was affecting your work, wasn't it?
It did help because I had to go and speak to whoever I needed to speak to in order to get back in work. So I went back into work and had a nice long discussion with my boss.
How did you find going to a counsellor? There's, I guess in some people's minds, there's a certain stigma about having to go and sort of bear all, if you like, with a counsellor or a psychologist. Did that weigh on your mind at all, or was it at the point where you really felt you had to go and talk to a counsellor and to hell with whatever people might think?
Well, it was basically that, you know, I didn't know whom to speak to. I needed someone to speak to and just let everything out on someone. And I did speak to a few friends, and they said, why not just speak to a psychologist and get professional help? Mm.
Did you and your partner ever consider going to a counsellor?
Yes, we did.
And did you?
No.
Why?
Just didn't get the right person to go to, and I couldn't afford it at that point of time.
Okay.
Of course, that's another consideration as well, of course.
Yeah, because I wasn't working full-time.
Yeah. Yeah. So you mentioned before that you left your job or you quit your job or whatever. Yeah. Did you get other work afterwards?
Yeah, I did.
How much longer, how big a gap was there between?
Oh, there was about 4 months.
Okay.
3 to 4 months.
So did this affect your depression even more?
Yeah, I had to worry about my finances as well.
And moving on a little bit then, so things have changed a bit, more than a bit, I guess, a few now. Yeah. So let's sort of get onto the happier note. And what's changed for you over the last, 12 or 18 months or whatever it's been?
What's changed is we still are friends. We still speak to each other, respect each other.
That's good.
And we've moved on. But I'm working full time at the moment. I've got a new job.
Mm.
I've got new friends, a lot of friends, and I'm seeing someone at the moment, someone really special.
That's good.
Mm. That's good.
He's a nice guy as well. He's actually sitting right outside the studio, looking in on us here.
And so, have you finished your studies for now? I'm not sure. We didn't exactly cover where you got to in your studies.
So everything's finished. Yeah.
Everything's finished. So it's down to full-time work for you now.
Yep.
And you're an architect. You've already told us that earlier. Do you have a particular style? A particular type of architecture that you work in, as in private housing or public buildings?
We're mostly doing multi-residential developments.
Right. Well, you said that sort of happened rather quickly, I think, because you were going medicine at one stage and then dental sort of came into the picture.
Yeah.
But when you finally have settled on architecture, what was your attraction to architecture? And what do you find satisfying about architecture?
It's something, you know, you're creating something from absolutely nothing. It's like a piece of land and you're actually creating something.
So you can see at the end, you know, the end product.
Yeah, it's like a piece of art. You know, you start, and then ultimately you see something that the user's going to want.
Your work, considering just what you've said about your work, did that help you get through your depression as well?
Yes, it did. Yeah, just immerse myself in work sometimes.
Right.
It's interesting, just digressing, but you mentioned the satisfaction of seeing something grow from nothing in that sort of industry. Old-time listeners to this program will know I've spent many years working in the IT industry, and it was the same sort of thing. You build a computer system from nothing, and the satisfaction of seeing a very complex system working in a large corporation, you know, 6 or 12 or 18 months or whatever it might be later, it's a satisfying thing to think that you were involved in helping build that from nothing. It is actually very satisfying. So what about social activities now? Do you have any involvement in any other sort of social groups, or is it primarily your private life with your current partner and work, or do you have involvement in other activities?
I haven't really enrolled in any other activities. I do play cricket, like I said.
You still play cricket? Right.
Yeah. I still play cricket.
What about now that you're over the depression completely now, aren't you?
Not really. No. I wouldn't say so, but...
Almost.
Almost, yeah.
And you have a new partner, and...
Yeah.
So, have you settled back down in Melbourne? Have you sort of said, well, Melbourne's my home now?
Yeah. I wouldn't say Melbourne's home, but Melbourne is home.
But you're a lot more comfortable now.
Yeah, I'm a lot more comfortable now.
If you had to give any advice to any young Indians coming to Australia, what advice would you give them, based on what you've been through?
I'd just say get your priorities right first.
And priorities as in,
if you're coming here to study, study first.
Right.
That's often hard to do, though.
It's often hard.
Because you've got all this new world, and particularly if you come from a country like India where you have not had an open gay society, if we're talking about gay Indians here, obviously, then there's always that enticement to want to go out and play on the scene, I guess.
Oh, you can definitely play, you know. All work and no play is bad, but, you know.
Mm.
Definitely play, but, you know, don't commit.
But don't make that your priority.
Don't make it a priority to, you know.
Don't give yourself away
to someone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's great. It's good advice, I think.
Yeah, it certainly is.
Well, thank you very much, Somesh. It's been
really wonderful talking
to you and listening to your story. But that's the end of the show, once again.
Yes, it's the end of another Orange Ribbon.
But our special thanks to Somesh for coming in. Coming up next on Joy is Simon and Paul from Global Sounds. Thanks for joining us here on Orange Ribbon tonight. We'll be back again at the same time, 7 p.m. next Wednesday, with more insights into our GLBT multicultural community here in Australia and around the world. Thank you to Nick on reception for his help tonight, and from Alan and myself, bye-bye.
Good night.
This has been another Joy 94.9 podcast. Joy 94.9 is a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station committed to providing a voice for the diverse GLBTI communities. You can support our work by becoming a member or making a donation. For details, go to joy.org.au.